the show today, we have Lone Star Credit Union's very own Becky Reed talking about their credit union's response to the coronavirus crisis and how their virtual desktop infrastructure is benefiting their credit union and their employees. So check it out.
We implemented VDI back in 2016, and we have had the capability for our entire workforce to work other than someplace than the office since then. We have never had to deploy it on such a broad scale.
Yeah.
But whenever all of this came down, that was something that I did not have to worry about. We knew that we had the capability to do it. We just had to get our staff prepared and ready for doing it. And we already have multiple staff members who work from home periodically,
mm-hmm.
but never the entire workforce. So yes, things have changed. We have three branches. And we closed the drive-thrus last week. I'm sorry, we closed the lobbies and kept the drive-thrus open last week.
Open, yes.
So the staff that is on site are the people needed to run the drive-thru. Everybody else, including our call center, accounting, lending, our executive team, we are all working from home.
So you got the skeleton crew, basically, in the branches, at the headquarters, that type of stuff, just to keep the lights on, basically, and keep the motor running. And
exactly.
You guys are at home. But I mean, I'm glad you brought up the whole remote work technology and strategy, all that type of stuff, because a lot of folks weren't ready for this type of situation to happen. And what's your advice to them if they're kind of scrambling to help, you know, these folks, you know, get their employees set and ready to go remotely? What's your advice to them right now?
Well, there is an option that is able to be deployed quickly. I know that you spoke with Peer IT.
Yeah, I did.
Mm-hmm. Last week with Kyle and Deck. Now, technology, it's VPN, stands for Virtual Private Network.
Mm-hmm.
So the way that that works, and that's traditionally what people use in order to access their servers and their apps and software that they need remotely is they use a VPN. And what a VPN is actually a tunnel, right? So it's a tunnel that goes from the person's device at home to wherever the credit union is. And that requires a license. It requires a special setup from IT in order to be able to do that. It requires additional firewall settings to allow that to happen. And wherever you're using the VPN, that particular device, if it has been, if it has viruses or if it's been compromised in some way, then there is an ability for that to infiltrate the VPN and get into your local network, which is not something that you want.
Yeah.
Also, a traditional VPN is able to be deployed for a small group of people, but not a large group of people, especially in a short time frame.
Yeah.
And so with VDI, that's just not the case. So with VDI, we set up, so our call center had not traditionally worked from home in the past.
Mm-hmm.
We set them up in 30 minutes.
What? 30 minutes?
30 minutes.
Wow. I'm thinking 30 days.
And you know what? It did not matter what device they had at home. They could have a laptop, they could have a desktop, they could have a iPad,
mm-hmm.
And they could even use their phone. I wouldn't recommend that because the screen is really small, but they can. And it takes up very little bandwidth. It's secure because in VDI, there's not a tunnel that goes from one place to another that could be intercepted or infiltrated. It's just a picture of your desktop.
Hmm.
And your desktop is sitting on a server somewhere else. And so theoretically, well, not just theoretically, actually really,
yeah.
When you're on a virtual desktop environment, when you're at the office, it sees you just like it would see you working from any place else.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really not that different. So my recommendation for credit unions is to really look at this technology. Some credit unions have adopted Citrix, which is a virtual desktop infrastructure software. We happen to use VMware. Whatever your particular solution is, most credit unions have not deployed it across the entire organization.
Mm-hmm.
So I think from a disaster recovery and what is available and what the options are, especially as we go through this. I think it's something that everybody should look at.
Agreed. And VDI stands for Virtual Desktop Infrastructure. Did I get that right?
You got it.
Wow, I learned something. Yay. Something stuck. So yeah, so this sounds like a godsend for a lot of folks out there right now who might be still scrambling and getting things set up. So a great option indeed. So I want to talk about your plan, business continuity plans, things like that. How have you guys been able to improvise? Are the plans still set? How's that whole thing worked?
So our internet connection broke up a little bit. So here's the thing. My husband is also working from home. Okay. And so, guess what? Right. We share the Wi-Fi connection. So I'm sorry. Could you repeat your question?
I can. Yes. I want to know about business continuity planning. So obviously you already have that in place, but how much have you guys had to, I guess, improvise? Because this is something that's never happened before. I mean, there's obviously other crises and emergencies and things like that, but this is a little bit different. So how did you guys stick to the plan, and then how have you guys improvised?
So the interesting thing is we and most other credit unions, we have a business continuity plan. And usually the plans revolve around some sort of IT event or a natural disaster, such as a hurricane or a tornado,
right.
A power outage, mm-hmm. Something of that nature. When I was talking to the other CEOs in the Dallas area, pretty much none of us had a plan for a pandemic. So it's pretty rare. It's only happened 4 times in the last 100 years.
Yeah.
And so our business continuity plan was not designed to handle this kind of issue. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we had to go back to the drawing board.
I think a lot of people had to.
Yeah. We had to get into a room with the leaders of our credit union and just go, okay, what are we going to do? Mm-hmm. And the past couple of weeks have been so crazy because we had a plan and then an hour later it changed, mm-hmm. because things changed. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a different kind of order that came down from the White House or from the county or from the city. So it's been very fluid.
That was the word I was thinking of. Yes.
Yeah. It's calmed down a little bit now. I think we know what's coming. Dallas County ordered a shelter in place starting last night.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the other counties in North Texas have done the same. Houston is in that same situation. And then there's a lot of states across the country who are in the whole state is in that situation. Nice. So California is too. They were one of the first to do it. So I think, we had to really make decisions quickly on the fly. And to be honest with you, every decision we made felt like an overreaction.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't know. I know that it made us question ourselves. You know, are we doing too much?
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, what I said is, what is it hurting?
Right.
What is it going to hurt?
Exactly.
Does it hurt anything if we send everybody to work from home? Is there a danger in doing that? And you know, if everything changes tomorrow, we can call them all back into the office.
Right.
So it was hard. We questioned ourselves a lot. Are we overreacting? Are we overthinking this? Are we doing more than what we need to? Are we disrupting people unnecessarily? Mm-hmm. In hindsight, no, we were not. But as Dr. Fauci has said from the White House many times, if it feels like an overreaction and you're uncomfortable, you're probably on the right track.
I love it. Yeah, I think in this instance, an overreaction is okay because there's so many unknowns out there with this. The uncertainty of it all is just so unpredictable. So you almost have to overplan and overreact, like you said. What are some things that you guys are doing for your members that you'd like to share out there that maybe might spark some new ideas for other folks out there? Have you guys done anything that's kind of out of the ordinary or just something really cool for your members?
I think we're doing a lot of what other credit unions are doing. But I've actually been quite impressed with what I've seen from the entire banking community. We have not waited for legislation to guide us in order to make plans to help our customers and our members. Mm-hmm. And for Lone Star, we already had some things in place that could help people to skip their loans in certain situations. So we did expand that, and we created what we're calling a crisis loan deferment program.
Okay.
And so our members can already, for any reason, skip a payment for one time, just because they're going on vacation or whatever.
Right.
And so it's interesting. Last week, on Friday, we had more loan skip payments than we actually booked loans.
Really?
Right. So we booked two loans.
Right.
It's seven skip payments. What? And that's, you know, it's usually the opposite. We have maybe two skip payments and seven loans.
Right.
So we've done that, and we've actually expanded the crisis loan deferment to extend all the way up to 6 months. And we're not requiring our members to prove it. We're going to take a statement from them, and we'll put that in the file. And we're certainly reaching out to those members who might be having difficulty. Just talk to us. Mm-hmm. And we don't have a blanket one-size-fits-all plan because, I mean, everybody's different. Everybody's situation is different.
Yep.
So we're just taking it one step at a time, one member at a time, and trying to provide customized solutions that best fit their needs. And the great thing is our call center, a lot of our branch staff that is not in the branch, they're actually working the phones now.
Yeah.
So, so our call center has more capacity to help members when they're calling. So,
oh, that's a bright spot. Yeah,
it takes all of us. I'm really proud of our industry, not just credit unions, but the banking industry, finance companies, mortgage companies. Everybody's really stepping up to help people.
Agreed. And so, any lessons learned so far in this? What we're like in a week and a half, basically, of this, of what, 6 weeks or something like that. So it's still pretty much the tip of the iceberg. But any lessons learned so far? Or?
So I think there's been 1,000 lessons that we've learned. I think that for me though, Mike, you know, this is when leadership really matters. And this is why that when you are in a leadership position, making strong decisions, letting the staff know right up front what the situation is. I sent an email when this first kind of broke and just told the staff, look, do not worry about your job. The credit union is safe. We are financially sound. Mm-hmm. We're going to get through this together. And your job is safe. And if you're affected by this pandemic, we're going to pay you. So we did that. We came up with what we call pandemic PTO. I know that's silly. It's a marketing thing, but pandemic PTO, right? that our employees can use if they get sick, or they're having to care for a family member who's sick, or their children are at home and they're unable to work because they've got to take care of their children. And we did that before there was any legislation requiring us to do so.
Wow, good for you. I mean, I think
acting quickly and communicate, mm-hmm. and whenever you think you've communicated enough, communicate some more. And that's another lesson. When you're in a crisis situation and things are moving so quickly, don't leave your employees in the dark. My son works for Kroger, all right? It's a grocery store. He has no idea what's going on. He stocks the shelves, right? So customers are asking him, when are you going to get more toilet paper? When are you going to get more bread? When are you going to get more milk?
Right.
You know, he has no idea.
Huh.
They haven't shared that with him.
Mm.
So, you know, maybe a manager knows, but all he can say is, hopefully it'll be on the next truck.
Yeah, I think that's all what we can hope for sure. Oh my goodness. Yeah, and I think because last week was kind of like the, oh my goodness, this is reality. And then I think this week it's more we're into it. We know we're in the middle of this now. And now I think people are really, like you're saying, they're executing on their plans. They're acting instead of like reacting. So,
right.
And I think, and to your point, being proactive and being ahead of the curve on this is so, so important, especially for employees out there who have no clue and are scared, about tomorrow. So what you did there, well, you know, huge applause for you. Kudos to you.
And for all the other CEOs
out there doing the same thing.
Yes. And lots of credit unions did that. There's lots and lots of employers out there who are doing great things. You know, as we see the hotel industry, the travel industry, the airline industry, restaurants, you know, so many folks are, you know, not going to have jobs. And while that's not a permanent thing, that's a short time thing while we're going through the situation, those jobs will come back.
Yep.
And, you know, I mean, how long is it going to take to get through this? Is it 3 months? Is it 6 months?
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know. And I think the unknown, and that's scary for your staff. That's scary for your members.
Yeah.
And, another thing we had to learn, guess what? We have to have virtual board meetings. And our annual meeting is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
We can't have groups of more than five people,
right?
You know, in the office. So what are we going to do? So we had to kind of scramble to figure that out. And I know a lot of other credit unions are figuring that out. I know the NCUA has released some hints on that for federally chartered credit unions. I know that the state commissioner for Texas has released some guidance on how best to handle that. Yeah, it's like we never thought we were going to have to deal with this. And now guess what? Oh, gosh, the bylaws don't allow that.
Well, well, have we been through something like this before? No. So.
Right. We were going along just fine. Mm-hmm. You know, the bylaws for the state of Texas were last updated in 2004.
Oh.
So.
Yeah, it's time for an update, for sure, especially after this. All right, Becky. Well, I'm sure you got a lot on your plate, and I'll let you get back to work. I just wanted to check in, see how you guys are doing, talk about the whole remote workforce thing, because I know you guys have already kind of had that set up. So that was, and for folks out there who already have it, they're ahead of the game. But for those who are in the middle of it, I hope they call folks like you and say, hey, what's our next step? So that's kind of the reason for this call and just to see how you guys are doing. So.
We're good. We're here to help. We are. Pure IT is. So, you know, we'll get through this together. Right. Thanks for talking with me, Mike.
Oh, you're very welcome. You're very welcome. And hang on to that toilet paper, all right?
Right next to me.
You got it. All right. Becky Reed from Lone Star Credit Union, thank you so much. Let's check in again in a few weeks, see how things are going, all right?
Sounds good.
All right.
Perfect. Live long and prosper.
Got it.